I've got some things in my spirit that God is dealing in, and He's telling me during this week of how He wants to touch lives, and this praise team didn't know what I was preaching on. But I want to do something a little bit different before I start. I want to put a scripture up, Philippians 4:13, on the board. It's not my text, but I just want to read a scripture this morning because it goes so well right here. I want you to look at the person beside. Now, first of all, I want you to read the scripture yourself. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. I want you to look at you. Once you've read it, I want you to look at your neighbor and quote that scripture to him. Can you do that? Do you believe it? The Spirit of the Lord is here this morning and is already dealing with hearts and lives this morning to touch your life. So I just want you to keep that in your mind, because you got to understand something. You're not in this thing alone. He's with you. He's with you. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. And I'm hoping that this will go just the way He has really been dealing with me this week. I've been up since 4:15 this morning going over it again. He just wouldn't let me sleep. I had the cowboy service this morning at 7:30. I'm wired for sound. Amen. Let's read some. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel of every tribe of their fathers. Shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them? And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Now, we're going to skip over who they are, but it's specifically talking about here that Moses picked one person out of every tribe. He had a mission that he wanted to send them on. Skip over to verse 17, same chapter. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men came to Hamath. I want to stop right there for a minute. I want us to backtrack just a little bit here. I want us to go back to when the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. And you've got to stay with me here, because I'm going two different directions once I get started. They were in bondage in Egypt. They were crying. They were unhappy. They wanted to be delivered out of bondage of Egypt. And so God finally sent a man by the name of Moses. And after dealing with Pharaoh for so long, they finally let the children of Israel go. Now remember something here. When they were freed from Egypt, and they went on their journey, and how that they got to the Red Sea, and how they started mumbling and grumbling and complaining about, you should have just left us over in Egypt. We could have died there. Why did you bring us out here? And you see, not only that, it was that the Egyptian army was after them, so they had the Egyptian army behind them, and they couldn't go anywhere. They had the Red Sea in front of them. But remember something too. And I want you to remember all these little things here. Remember when they left Egypt, it said they were led by a fire cloud by night, or just some fire by night, and then they were in the cloud by day. If it's opposite, that's, you know what I'm talking about. But then when they got to the Red Sea and they were grumbling and they were complaining, finally, you know, of course, you think sometimes that if God wasn't such a good God, He probably wouldn't put up with us, some of us, very much because of the grumbling and complaining. Amen? But anyway, it said that Moses spoke to sea, the sea rolled back, they crossed over on dry ground, got to the other side, the enemy came in behind them, the sea came back on them and killed all their enemies. So see, the main objective was that they were to leave Egypt to get to Canaan. And the land that they were fixing to go into was Canaan. That's where these 12 men or 12 people were sent to spy out the land to see what it was. And so let's just stop right here. They're in the wilderness. But let's go to another scenario here. In John chapter 3, and I quoted this last week when I've done the Scripture. In John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." Verse 17, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." One day God sent Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. One day God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to lead us out of bondage, to lead us out of all that we were going through. But sometimes, after He leads us out of these things, we still want to tend to grumble and complain and forget about where He brought us from, forget about the blessing that He's already poured out on us. We always get to that problem, and it seems like somehow we have a memory lapse and we forget all that He's done for us. Let's go on. Got a lot to cover here. Go back. Verse 22. "And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Aman, Shusha, and Tamar, the children of Amak, were." Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. "And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch." Now you got to catch this part right here. Because it's not, I got something to show you later. It's a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bear it between two upon a staff. In other words, there were so many grapes, it took two of them to carry them. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful about that? You love grapes? And they brought the pomegranates and the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the clusters of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. Listen to this now. "And they returned from the searching of the land after 40 days." Now, let's stop here. They took 12 people, one from each tribe. They all went to the same place, all looked at the same stuff. Just say for instance, if we took this church, Pastor took this church, and he picked 12 people to go out and search the same place, go to the same place and come back with their opinion. Do you think that you would come back with a unanimous opinion, or do you think we might have a little diversity of opinion? Come on now. But now here's the thing here. When they came back, they all agreed on this. It said, "And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and shewed them the fruit of the land. And they told him..." Brother Jim's going to help me out this morning. I asked him to be Moses for me this morning. He's going to come up here. He's going to help me out. And I didn't want to put him on the spot, but I said, well, why not? He'll do good. He'll do good. Just stand right there, brother. We're going to discuss something here. It said, "When they all got back, they called the children of Israel together." Everybody got together because they wanted to hear what these 12 had to say. So it said they all said the same thing, that the land was great. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was just awesome. In other words, it's a place you would really like to live, but that's not what some of them said. Listen to this. "And they told him and said, 'We came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it.'" Listen to this now. They were excited about the land, and they were talking about all that it had. It's just like if we were talking about heaven, and we know how wonderful it's going to be, but we've never been there. But yet, that's all we want to do is we want to know about it. But yet, for some reason, we don't want to put forth the effort to get there. We want it all laid in our lap like a silver platter and just say, "Oh God, here I am. You saved me. I'm your child. You take care of business. I'm here if you need me." As Brother Johnny would say, that's worth a well right there. Nevertheless, listen to this now. They were talking about what a great land it was, but listen to them now. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Now, they saw what great land it was, and they were bragging about that it flowed with milk and honey, and oh, how great it would be. Now look, it said in the Bible that it took two people to carry a cluster of grapes. Now, I think Brother Jim can handle these grapes. And by the way, I've washed them, so if you want to eat one. So that was just part of the fruit that they brought back. But listen to this. What they were trying to tell us is, we would love to be there, but we also saw the people that lived there. We saw the great walled cities. In other words, in our own eyes, we can't conquer it. We would love to be there. We would love to have that all in grapes and that land flowing with milk and honey. But we see the people that live there, and there's just no way that we can do that. And you know what happens to a lot of people? There was 12 people that were sent. 10 people came back negative. 2 were positive. Sometimes what happens to us is we're hanging around, and the title of the message today is, it's who we listen to. You see, sometimes if you're not careful, you're going to be hanging around some people that's got religion or maybe know Jesus and things like that, but yet, because they're not doing well, they don't want you to do well. They want to hold you down. They're not planning on going anywhere, so they don't want you to go anywhere either. But listen to this. How's it great, look? Listen to this. Put up the next verse, 30. Now Caleb comes to Moses. Listen to this. One person. He already had all these other people said, they all agreed. Look at the fruit. That's just part of it. The pomegranates and all that kind of stuff. And they saw the tent and he heard their story. But Caleb came up to him and he said, but Moses! He said, if Caleb steal the people, in other words, they done got to making a lot of noise. And he said, if Caleb steal the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. What's the scripture say? If God be for us, who can be against us? I mean, to tell you something, God is in charge of the situation. But listen to this. Woo-wee. And this don't ever happen in church, I know. No negativity in church, right? Here you got a man that stands before Moses and he says, I know what I saw. I saw the same things that they did. I saw the milk and the honey. I saw the grapes. I saw all those things. And I also saw all those walled cities and everything. But he said, I still know that because when we came out of Egypt, God delivered them through the Red Sea. And God's done all these miracles for them. And Caleb, one man, stood up in the crowd and said, I know that we can overcome. You know what you're going to have to do sometimes? You're going to have to stand on your own 2 feet, forget about everybody else and what they think and what they think about you, and just say, God, it may not be nobody but me and you, but I know by your help and by your grace, I can overcome and go forward. That a freak right there. Forward to God. Now listen to this. Moses, can I ask you a question? How in the world did you put up with all these people for so long? Can I ask you something? How do we sometimes put up with the situations and circumstances in our lives when we know they're not good for us, but we let them linger on? Listen to this. And remember what Caleb just said. Let's read that again. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome. Listen to this though. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Boy, the old devil would love to tell you that you ain't worth nothing, that you might as well just throw up your hands and quit. Let me do something here. I wasn't going to throw it in right here, but I think I will. Bear with me, Moses. I'm coming back to you. The old devil. Come up here, Brother John. Come up here and help me out just a minute, if you don't mind. Now, you got to do. Hold this. Hold this for me. You ready? Sometimes when you go through your life, you feel like you're all by yourself. Come on now, raise your hand. You feel like you don't know which way you're going to go. You feel like you're in a desert land. Nobody loves you. Everybody hates you. You don't know what you're going to do. Right? Some of you today, you've been in the same condition and position you've been in forever. And you just don't know what you're going to do. I'm here to tell you what you got to do. You got to stand up and say, "Oh God, I'm tired of being in the situation that I'm in, and I'm ready to move on a little bit further on." You see, the old enemy sometimes, he's going to come at you and throw the book at you. Right? He's going to tell you you're worthless. And when he throws the book at you, he's going to throw it at you when you're in such a state of mind that you don't know what you're going to do. So, oh, nobody loves you. In other words, you're in a pity party. Oh, come on now. Nobody ever been there? Feel sorry for yourself? Nobody? So when he throws the book at you, what do you want to do sometimes? That's right. Throw it in, bro. So what have you accomplished by throwing in the towel? Turn to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Get your Bible. Get something. I would let you have mine, but I'm used. Somebody give him a Bible right here real close. He got to do something for me real quick. Let me get the book out of your way. I don't want you to trip over the book and say I was the one that caused you to fall. I'm going to read. You just stand there and be good. Listen to me now. Listen. When the devil throws a book at you, and you feel like throwing in the towel, if you do that, he's won. But Brother Jason said this Wednesday night, he said, "I've come too far, and I don't intend to go back. And as much as I love every one of you, there ain't one of you in here I'm going to hell for. I'm going to stand up for God because that's the only way to go." Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Come on. It's slow like me. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Right? And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Turn to John 1 and 1. You ready? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now close up the book, Brother John, right there. The Scripture tells us to hide His Word in our heart that we might not sin against God. It also tells us to hide His Word in our heart that we may be able to give an answer of the hope that lies within us. So when the devil throws the book at you, come up here, Brother Johnny, I want you to face the congregation. When the devil throws a book at you, rather than throw in the towel, why can't you just hold up the Word? Hold it up in there, bro. Why can't you just hold up the Word instead of throwing in the towel? Why can't you just get back at Him with the Word and what the Word says rather than trying to give up? Thank you, Brother Johnny. But we'd rather go a different way. You know the reason, and I'm going to be just as nice as I can what I'm finna say. The reason some people can't do that is because there's dust on your Bible, or you don't take enough time to read it and to know what it says. But I'm going to tell you something. You got to know what the Word says to be able to stand up against the devil and the way he's going to, and it's not going to get any easier. You kind of standing? You all right so far? You're a young man. I want to go back here. Let me read something else first. Don't want to get too far. So it said, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel. I'm in verse 32. The land through which we have gone to search it as a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there, listen to this, they're making up all kinds of excuses now why they can't do it. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants that were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. It's easy to find excuses why you don't go to church, why you don't serve God, and why you're not doing any better than you're doing, and you're in the condition that you're in. It's easy to justify that. I want to read the scripture here. Verse chapter 14. This is real good. This is real good people right here. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt! Our God, we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain. And Moses returned Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Let's read on. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. Listen to this now. Verse 8. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us. Listen to this now. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us. Come on now. You think He's going to do it through you grumbling and complaining? It said, A land which floweth with milk and honey. Oh, rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, for fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Verse 11, and I'm going to stop here. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? Listen to this now. And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have shewed among them? In other words, He's already done. You need to sit down, Brother King, for just a minute. You see, God, every one of us are blessed people. How many of you have ever been blessed? God's healed you before. God's done miracles for you before. He's done things for your family. He's blessed you in many ways. And I know you may be going through a trial right now, and you think that God's nowhere near at you, but He is. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll be with you always. So you see, He's always there. But listen to this right here. Remember what I told you. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they were led by the fire at night and the cloud by day. They got to the river of the Red Sea, and the Red Sea opened up. They got across on dry ground. The enemy went in after them. The Red Sea swallowed them up and killed them. And remember something here. The Red Sea was closed. After He destroyed the enemy, He didn't open it back up right then. Remember? Listen to this. In chapter 14, they were talking about, He brought us out here to die. Come on now. There's some of you that are going through some situations in your life right now. And you're wondering, God, where are you? Why are you leaving me in this condition? Why are you letting me go through these things? Remember something. He's right there. Why wouldn't it be just as easy to raise your hands up and praise Him and give Him glory for all that He's done rather than mumble and grumble about where you are? Listen to this. The children of Israel said, We will just elect us a captain and we'll just go back to Egypt. Listen to this now. They were led by Moses and God out of Egypt. He led them across the Red Sea. He led them into the wilderness and was fixing to lead them into Canaan land. But they said, We're just soon to go back to Egypt. Let me tell you something. If they would have went back to Egypt, they should have went by True Value Hardware Store or Rebel Hardware Store and bought them some lanterns or some torches and umbrellas for the sun that was going to shine. And they might have needed to bought them some swimming trunks and maybe some boats. Because when they were going to go back to Egypt, God didn't lead them out of Egypt and bring them where He brought them to take them back.
In other words, if they decided to go back to Egypt, it was going to be on their own. They were going to have to make their own way. When they got to the Red Sea, they was either going to have to swim or get a boat. Because God didn't leave no rock there on the side of the Red Sea and say, just when you get back, if you decide to go back, just turn this rock. The sea apart, and you can go back over. Kenneth, when God saved us and brought us out of what He brought us out of, it's not His will that any should perish, and He don't want us to go back to the old people we used to be or to the old person we used to be. He wants us to move forward. But let me tell you something. If you decide that you want to turn your back on God, you'll do it on your own and you'll go without Him. Because He's not going to lead you back into something that He's brought you out of. God is not a crawfish that He goes backwards. I got a scripture here I want to try to bring. Let me see if I can find it right here. You doing all right, buddy? Yeah, he's one of them grace. It may not help you much. Bear with me. Philippians 3:14. Oh, you're already there. Good. What does it say? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark. In other words, I'm not regressing, I'm progressing. In other words, I've got to make up headway. I've got to keep on plowing. I've got to keep on going. But there's some of you that may feel like throwing in the towel today. There may be some of you, because you've gone through some sickness, that you may be wanting to throw in the towel. You may want to quit. But I'm here to tell you something. Quitting and going back is not an option. If I were to ask you to raise your hands this morning, and you would tell me, honestly, you tell me this morning, you slip your hand up, and you tell me right now, I've either got sickness going on in my life or in my family. I've got problems going on in my family. I'm going through some things spiritually. I'm just having some battles. I don't know which way to go. I feel like I'm in the desert. I'm in the wilderness. I feel like God's not anywhere around. I don't know which way I'm going to go. I know which way I need to go, but I just can't get up the energy to do that. I know what I need to do, but I just can't do it. If I were to ask you, just slip up your hand and you say, I'm going through some battles right now and I just don't need to stop. I just need to press forward. Just slip your hand up in the air. Come on. It ought to be every one of us. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus has a plan. And I heard this, I think it's a song. You may correct me if it's not. It's somebody sings a song that says, God's got a blessing with your name on it. Y'all ever heard that before? Now, I didn't know. It didn't come over on the ark. I'm here to tell you that God's got something for you. And you see, God showed these 12 people that went to Canaan what they could have if they wanted it. And I'm here to tell you something. Everybody's not going to want what you've got. They're not going to want to move up. They're going to want to drag. A lot of people are satisfied in the condition and the place that they're in. And they don't want to go any higher. They don't want to be blessed. I got all I need. But if you got all you need, what else was supposed to come to you? Just send it on to me. Brother Joel, we'll take all we can get. But you see, the Lord is trying to tell us the condition that you're in. There is something better. Don't stay in the condition you're in. Don't live in this life that you think, well, I don't know what to do. I've just got to the end of my rope. And you see, here God sent 12 people, or Moses did through God sent these 12 people, and they found Canaan and all that was pertaining to it and everything like that. And then you got 10 people come back and says, oh yeah, it's great and it's wonderful and it'd be a great place to go. But look who all you got to fight and what you got to go through to get there. I'm here to tell you something. Anything worth having is worth working for. And I'm here to tell you something. It's going to get worse, but by the help of God, we're going to make it and we're not going to stay where we are. Thank you, brother. You keep the grapes for you for now if you want to. As a prize. Turn over to Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Go ahead and stand with me if you will. Praise team, y'all come on back up. Help me out. I don't know who I'm talking to today. But I came by to tell you today that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some of you are going through some things in your home. You're going through some things on your job. You're going through some things with your children, maybe. Maybe you're going through some spiritual problems. Maybe there's been some things happening to you. You just don't know what to do, which way to go, where to turn. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus has the answer. It's like Pastor Lott would always tell us. You may not always want to hear what he has to say. But when God tells him to say something, that's what he has to say. And what you do with it is strictly up to you. But this morning we're going to have an altar service in just a minute. And God's going to touch your life. And He's going to give you that renewed life. He's going to give you that new charge that you need. You didn't come here by happenstance. You're here because God wants you here. And He's got a word for you. Let's read something in Romans chapter 8. I want to read a few scriptures here. Verse 31 says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" What you need to do sometimes is look that old devil in the face. And I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes the devil comes in human form. But you need to look that devil, you need to look that circumstance. Because I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing worth going to hell for. There is nothing worth throwing in the towel for. There is nothing worth giving up for. You only have one reason, and that's to hold on when you get to the end of your rope. Tie a knot in it and hold on, because you're going to go to that place one day and you'll be glad that you did. Verse 32. "He that spared not his own son..." As we read in John 3:16, but he said, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Now some people might say here, "He don't give me everything I want, but he gives you what you need." He said he supplies all you need according to his riches and glory. He's going to take care of you. But remember, there's another scripture that says, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 7 or somewhere in that area, where it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you." In other words, you got to do something. Verse 33, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is," listen to this now, "that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." Listen to this part. Well, this is good. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." For you. This is what I want you to do this morning.